Man, it's good to be here at Youth Conference. Take your Bibles, please. If you please take your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter 13, and I am not exemplifying what a Golden State Baptist College graduate would look like for a Tuesday morning of Youth Conference, but I want to share something with you. I hope that'll be a help and a blessing to you. Romans chapter 13, if you turn there, we'll read just a few verses. In Romans chapter 13, I want to look at just a few verses. Verse number 11 is where we'll begin. The Bible says, and that knowing the time, that's something we're talking about this week. It's time for us to figure out what time it is in our lives. It's time for us to get busy. It's time for us to get serious. It's time for us to get excited about serving God. It's time for us to jump right in. It's time for us to make the decisions that God is speaking to our hearts about. It's time for us to get fired up. I loved hearing Brother Tony Hudson last night. I loved hearing Brother Mark Swanson. But I don't want to just see excitement in them. I want to have that. I want to experience it. I don't want to just hear about all of the great things that God can do in somebody's life. But I want to be able to have some of those things happen to me. In Romans 13, verse number 11, the Bible says, and that knowing the time, that now it is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. The night is far spent. The day is at hand. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness and let us put on the armor of light. Let us walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, not in strife and envying, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd bless us in these next few moments. I pray that you'd please speak to our hearts. I pray that you'd challenge us. I know it's Tuesday morning and I know it's early. Lord, this is so exciting. This is the most exciting place in the world we could be at this time. And Lord, I know that this service is not just a filler. There are plenty of other things we could be doing. But Lord, I believe that you have a purpose for us being here. I believe there's something from this message that you want to speak to hearts about. And Lord, I pray that you'd do that. I pray that you'd work in us. Give us a great week. But Lord, I pray this morning that we would take priority of our lives, and I pray that we'd make decisions that are necessary. I pray that we would do what you have for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen. I want you to, this morning, I'd like for you to listen, please, carefully, as I share a story of something that happened to me when I was growing up. When I was growing up, I loved basketball. I still do. I don't play it as much anymore, but I still love it. I love to watch some of you younger guys play and, you know, get in a good game of horse every now and then. But when I was growing up, my dad and I, if I were to count up the hours that we played basketball, I don't think there'd be any way that I'd be able to count all those up and to figure out how much time we actually spent doing that. Let's see here. Are we on here? I'm sorry. The hours that we would spend playing basketball, the time that we would spend, my dad was, he was such an amazing dad. He spent so much time with me and with my brother and my sisters, and we'd go in the backyard. He actually had a concrete slab that was poured specifically for the purpose of just playing basketball. We'd go out there, it didn't matter what the weather was like. I grew up in Illinois, and it was cold. I'm telling you, it was so cold. We used to go out and shovel the snow off the basketball court just so that we could play. I remember times where we'd have to break up the ice just to get it off, just to chip it off, just so we could play. I loved it. But I remember when I was just a little boy growing up at 229 Victory Street, Rockford, Illinois. I remember I'd go out in the backyard, and as a young boy, I could never beat my dad at basketball. It was just something amazing about it. He had a shot that was, it was incredible. He shot something like this from behind his head and fading away. I don't know how he does it. I can't do it. But I tell you, even when I got taller and I could jump higher, I still couldn't get up there and block it because of the way that he'd shoot that ball. But I remember as a young boy, we'd play and we'd have great games and we'd play late into the night. We'd turn on every light we could on the outside of the house just so we could see. And we'd play. And I remember when I got to the point where I was starting to beat him. I got to the point where I was starting to get ahead or I was starting to stay with him. And I used to think I was something else. I used to think, boy, I'm finally able to beat my dad. As far as I knew, he was the best basketball player ever because he was the one I always played and he was the one that always beat me. But something would happen in those basketball games that
has stuck with me. For years, I never really thought of the significance of it. But about a year ago, I was thinking back on our basketball days. And I remember how excited I'd be. I remember how intense I would get in those games. And I remember how I'd think I was finally starting to win the game. And I remember seeing, you know, we keep track of the score. And I was thinking, oh, I'm up by two. I think I can do this. And then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, my dad would take a little breather. Wasn't really to get a breather. But he would lean over on the little ledge outside our back door. And he would do something very interesting. He would tie his shoes. And what was amazing was, all that time we were playing before, he didn't have his shoes tied. He was just getting started. I mean, he was just warming up. I mean, he was just kind of taking it easy on me. And here I thought I was doing something great. But I'll never forget, he'd lean over and he would tie those shoes. That became a scary sight for me. Because when he tied his shoes, I knew I was in trouble. Because when he tied his shoes, it meant one of three things. It meant either number one, the game was close. It meant number two, that he was losing. Or number three, that time was running out. And when he tied his shoes, when he got back up, he played with a new intensity. He played with a new determination. He played so hard. I thought, Dad, you're supposed to be old. How are you doing this? And he would literally change the game. Because of one small act of tying his shoes. And this morning, young people, my thought and my challenge to you is I believe it's time to tie our shoes. Amen. It's time to get serious. It's time to quit messing around with youth conference and youth meetings and Sunday school and soul winning and Bible reading and prayer time. It's time to quit dilly-dallying. It's time to quit messing around and goofing off. I believe it's time to get serious. I believe it's time to tie our shoes. I'll tell you, it's time. It's time to get focused. I'm talking about young people. It's amazing how we get focused sometimes on the wrong things. It's amazing how we get so serious, but sometimes it's about the wrong things. I'm amazed to see the determination of young people in sports. And by the way, I'm all for it. I love it. I'll come to every game and I'll cheer as loud as anybody. But if we can get excited about sports, and if we can get serious about sports, and if we can give our lives to sports, but we can't do that for the cause of Christ, something's wrong. It's time to tie your shoes. For some of you, you're walking around spiritually and your shoes are still untied. You're still goofing off. You're still messing around. You're still trying to figure out if you are really going to get on board or not. This morning, it's time to tie your shoes. I walked in here. My first time I came in was last night before the service. Sunday night for the service. And I saw the centerpiece of the decoration for Youth Conference 2007, the famous Big Ben. And may I say, spiritually, it's time to look at the time. It's time to realize that the time for you this morning, the time for me this morning, is time to tie our shoes. I'd like you to notice this morning, it's time to quit making excuses. I believe it's time to quit our whining. It's time to quit our complaining. It's time to stop thinking of all the reasons why we can't serve God and start thinking of all the reasons why we can. Oh, I love that message last night. I serve God because I want to. I love that. I wish we had some more want to. I wish we had a greater desire. I wish we'd get serious about serving God. Kneel over, tie those shoes, and get in the game and do something great for God. You see, this morning, it's time to tie our shoes. We can come up with all the reasons and all the excuses. But anytime I have an excuse or anytime I have a reason why I think I can't serve God, I always go back to this picture a preacher boy gave me and from the state of Maryland. I met him at a meeting somewhere about a year or two ago, and it's about my age. The difference is he's in a wheelchair. The difference is he doesn't have any arms. He doesn't have one leg. One leg goes down to about his knee, and there are a few toes at the end of his knee that he uses to control his wheelchair. And I met him at that preaching meeting, and with the toes sticking off the end of his knee, he shook my hand. He gave me one of his prayer cards. He pulled it out of his Bible, and he said, "I'm so glad to meet you." And he told me his name. He said, "I'm a Baptist preacher." He said, "I'm an evangelist." You know, I went back to the motel that night, and I looked in the mirror, and I said, "Jeremy, don't you ever, ever make an excuse for why you can't serve God." Isn't it amazing the things we come up with? Isn't it amazing? We think we can't get serious. We think we can't serve God. But you look around a little bit and you'll find some people that have it a whole lot worse than you do, that have it a whole lot harder than you do. But isn't it amazing how sometimes it seems those are the people that actually do something for God? This morning, I'd like to say, it's time to tie your shoes. My dad taught me that lesson when I was growing up. He'd come out just like this. He would come back from work. He would take off his tie. He would roll up his sleeves. He would put on his tennis shoes, and he was ready to play. But I'll never forget when I'd see him bend over and tie those shoes. That meant that the game was on. And this morning, it's time to tie your shoes. Number one, I'd like to say, it's time to tie your shoes because time is running out. It's time to tie your shoes because time is running out. Ephesians 5:16, the Bible says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. What does the word redeem mean? It means to place a high value. It means to buy it back. It means to take advantage of every opportunity. And may I say this morning, time's running out. Teenager, you will not believe how fast the next 10 years will go by. You won't believe how quickly the time will fly by. And you'll say, I remember when I was at youth conference. I remember when I was a teenager, and now I'm 30 years old. Now I'm 35. Now I'm 40. You see, the years don't last forever. The years have a way of slipping by, and time is running out. Romans 13 tells us that we better know the time. And it's high time to awake out of sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. You see, the psalmist said, help me to remember how short my time is. It's time to get serious. It's time to tie your shoes. I don't know how many wear tennis shoes anymore. I know we got the slip-ons and we've got all these buckle and Velcro and all that stuff. But when you lean over in the morning to put your shoes on, when you lean over to tie your shoes in the morning, I hope you'll remember it's time to tie your shoes spiritually because time is running out. Number two, not only is time running out, but number two, I believe that we are losing the fight. Now let me preface this. I know we're on the winning side. I know we have victory in Jesus. But I'm afraid sometimes we're relying on everybody else to get the job done while we sit back and enjoy the blessings. But the truth is, in our youth groups, in our churches, in our homes, in our personal lives, in many cases, we're losing the fight. Jeremiah said in the book of Lamentations, chapter number 1, verse number 16, he said, for these things I weep. He was broken. He was burdened for the people of Jerusalem. He said, for these things I weep because the enemy prevailed. And may I say, we're in a fight. It's the godly versus the worldly. We want to be more like Christ and we want you to be like the world. We want to be a long way from the world. But it's sad when you meet Christian teenagers. Sometimes you're not sure if they're Christian until they tell you. Sometimes it looks like by the way that we dress and the music we listen to and the way that we talk and the activities that we participate in, sometimes it looks like we're more like the world than we are like Christ. And whenever that's the case, we're losing the fight. You see, this morning, we must tie those shoes because we're losing the fight. Why are we losing the fight? Romans 13 gives us one reason. It says because we're sleeping. Have you ever tried to be in a fight when you're sleeping? Have you ever tried to play basketball while you're sleeping? Have you ever tried to come to youth conference? Well, maybe, hopefully not. But have you ever tried to participate in any kind of competitive event while you're sleeping? Who do you think's going to win? Not you. But spiritually, we're asleep. Romans 13 tells us that it's high time to awake out of sleep because time's running out. We're losing the fight. We better get serious. We're sleeping. I believe number two, a reason why we're losing the fight is because we're sinning. You see, we cannot live a life sinning against a holy, almighty, sovereign God and get away with it and win. When we're sinning, you want to know something? We're losing. If you're sleeping this morning, spiritually, you're losing. If you're sinning, you are losing. May I say, we're selfish. Romans 13 tells us to walk honestly as in the day, not in rioting and drunkenness, not in chambering and wantonness, but put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make not provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. May I say, so often, we're just worried about ourselves. That's why some teenagers don't live for God, because they don't care about anybody else. They don't care what God wants. They are just concerned with what they want. And they want it now. And we have ways of disguising it. You know, we don't just come right out and say, I want this. But we have our little ways, don't we? We're going to get what we want, when we want it, and how we want it, because we're selfish. May I say, the Christian life is not a life about being selfish, but it's a life about giving up your desires. It's about giving up what you want and saying, Lord, not my will, but thine be done. You see, we're losing the fight, I believe, number four, because we're not seeking God. It says in verse number 14, but put ye on the Lord Jesus Christ. Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12, the Bible tells us it is time to seek the Lord. And this morning at Youth Conference 2007, 24/7, serving God, may I say, it is time to seek the Lord. It's time to stop seeking what your friend thinks. It's time to stop seeking what so-and-so is going to say or what they might think of you or how you might come across. It's time to get serious about saying, God, what do you want? God, what would you have me to do? And whatever it is, count me in. I'll do it. Isaiah 6:8. Also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. May I say, we need some here am I's. We've got some people hiding in the corner saying, well, I guess if God really twists my arm enough, if the Holy Spirit speaks to me enough times, I may go ahead and give in. We need some Christians that are standing up, shouting at the top of their lungs, saying, Lord, here am I. Please use me. I want to be involved. I want to be a part. I want to be a part of the blessings that you can give. Number one, it's time to tie your shoes. It's time to get those laces tied. It's time to get serious. It's time to get focused. It's time to become intense in the Christian life because time is running out. Number two, because we're losing the fight. But number three, I'd like to say, it's time to tie your shoes because it's a close game. It's a close game. Now, let me make sure you understand this. We are on the winning side, okay? We're not wondering, we're not biting our nails thinking, oh, who's going to win this thing? We know we're on the winning side, but I'm talking about in the battles that you and I face every day, it's a close fight. You see, the devil's throwing everything he has against teenagers. He's throwing every dart, every fiery dart is coming against you. And it's a close fight. It's a close game. And by the way, lest you become worried about that, I'm glad it's close. Because have you ever noticed it's no fun to watch a game or play in a game that's a blowout? Have you ever noticed that? I remember when I was in junior high, we had a good team that year. We were playing a small school in Grand Detour, Illinois. I think they had about 50 people in the town. And in the first quarter, in junior high, we were up, I think it was 16-0 at the end of the first quarter. You know what that meant for me and the other guys that were starters? We were sitting on the bench the rest of the game. Because it wasn't close. We didn't get to play. I remember the big event for us was watching box elder bugs crawling across the court and wanting to see which ones would make it without getting stepped on by the people on the court. I mean, that was it. Is that not retarded? I mean, is that not crazy? But the game wasn't close. It wasn't important. It wasn't exciting. We knew we were going to win. But you know, when it was a close game, I wasn't worried about box elder bugs. I wasn't worried about the fans. I wasn't worried about what they had at the concession stand after the game. I wasn't worried about anything else. When it was a close game, my focus was on that game. When it was a close game, I'll tell you what, my shoes were tied. I was serious. I was intense. I was passionate. I was determined because it was a close game and I knew that the outcome would be determined by how serious I got and by how much I gave. And young people, it's a close game. Here's what I'm saying. You can make a difference. You can make a difference in your youth group. You can make a difference in your family. You can make a difference in the row that you're sitting in. You can make a difference in the life of the person sitting next to you. You can make a difference. It's close. Don't think, oh, what I do doesn't matter. Oh, yes, it does. It still matters what you do. There's a difference you can make, but the choice is up to you. May I say, it is a close game. May I say, it's time to realize that this is a fight that's worth fighting. It's a race that's worth running. It's a life that's worth living. It's a gift worth giving. It's a message worth sharing. Philippians 4:13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 1 John 4:4, greater is He that is in you than he that is in the world. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God which always causeth us to triumph in Christ. You see, the victory is yours. But it's a close game. That's why Paul said in 1 Corinthians 9:26, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. So fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's why he said in Galatians 2:20, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. May I say, young people, this is exciting to me, but it's a close game. We can make a difference. There's some souls out there that can be saved. There's some prayers that can be answered. There's some youth groups that can be built. There's some people whose lives can be influenced and changed for the glory of God. But I don't believe it'll ever happen in your life or mine until we get the shoes tied, until we get the game face on, until we realize it's life and death. Until we realize it's serious business. For some people, it's heaven or hell. For some people, it's well done, thou good and faithful servant. Or for some people, it's just getting by the skin of their teeth. May I say this morning, it's time to tie your shoes. Lord, I pray that you'd please help us and bless us. And Lord, I sure hope that this wasn't too silly or too trivial. But Lord, I know for me that lesson has had a huge impact on my life. I don't think my dad even meant much by it. I think that was just the way he did it. But when I saw him tie his shoes, I knew it was about to get intense. I knew that the game would be changed because of what he did with tying his shoes. And Lord, I'm talking to some young people who perhaps they've been going through the spiritual life, through the battle, and they just slipped their shoes on, but they've not really tied them up. They've not really got serious. They've really not got grounded and founded in this fight. They're just kind of seeing how it's going to work, or maybe seeing if it'll be convenient, or seeing if their friends will do it. But Lord, this morning, I pray that they tie their shoes. I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to do that. We know that we're not worthy to unloose the latchet of your shoes, but I pray that you'd help us to tie ours. And may we be serious. And may we do something great for you. And Lord, I pray that you'd work in our hearts in Jesus' name. Amen. Pastor, give it to you.